So we're going to talk about couples and, you know, what is like your breaking point? Heidi's column this week, she wrote 30% of married households contain a politically mismatched pair, according to 538, a site that analyzes polling data. 1/3 of those couples are Democrats married to Republicans, the site found. Mm-hmm. And the others are people who identify as a partisan married to somebody who identifies as an independent. So a Republican and an independent, or a Democrat and an independent, or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So 30% of married households, and only 1/3 of those are Democrats married to Republicans. So if I'm doing my math correctly, and I don't know that I am, that would mean 10% of American households are Democrats and Republicans living together, right?
Okay.
So they said 30%, and then they said 1/3 of that. So basically 10%.
Yeah.
10% is a politically mismatched pair as far as Democrat and Republican. I would think a partisan and an independent, that's not the stress I would imagine that, especially in this day and age, a Democrat and Republican would have together. She writes, certainly plenty of other passions and pursuits can spark and cement a couple's bond, but when midterms are breathing down our necks, those shared passions and pursuits can take a backseat to politics. You cannot talk about it, said Palatine's Aaron Del Mar. We get 25 pieces of mail a week. We get constant robocalls and texts. Del Mar was born and raised in Chicago by a hardcore Dem mom, he said. His partner, Sarah Cox, was raised in a family of Republicans. As they grew older and established their own lives and values, each shifted away from the politics they were raised at. Del Mar is a Palatine Township Republican committeeman and was appointed by Governor Bruce Rauner to the Illinois International Port Authority earlier this year. Cox identifies herself as a liberal Democrat. So how interesting is that? They grew up in the opposite households as they, you know, and then they drifted away from that as they became older. And now, that's interesting. The couple lived together in Palatine where they're raising 6 kids. 3 from his previous marriage, 2 from hers, and 1 they had together. So it's Brady Bunch. Brady Bunch meets Crossfire, sounds like.
I got you. So when you see the Brady Bunch beginning montage of the 9 squares, mm-hmm. do you have like, is it blue for one yes. and a half columns and then
Here's
red for the other
story
half? One and a half?
Of a liberal lady.
Oh, boom, boom. Go ahead.
I know she's not going to vote for some of the candidates I need to win, Del Mar said. This election has a direct effect on my job. If Bruce Rauner doesn't get elected, there will be significant effects on the Republican Party in Illinois, and I'll be directly affected. But what am I going to do? Tell her how to vote? No way. They had one fight over immigration that ended with Del Mar leaving the house and sleeping in his office.
Yikes. Wow.
How can you explain taking those kids away from those parents, she said, starting to revisit the fight. You know what? Let's not talk about this right now. Our political beliefs are a separate entity from our relationship. When we have those debates and conversations, it's almost like we're different people, and then we go back to our normal lives, which are so chaotic with kids and everything. She talked to a counselor who counsels couples to discuss what leads them to their political beliefs rather than staying stuck on beliefs themselves. How does this relate to their childhood or their past? Why do they feel this? Why does this matter to them? Why is this the hill on which they'll die? He said, you have to try to understand the emotions and the feelings and the needs of the person who's in opposition to you. It's hard, but it's the only way that you get to a place of, I disagree with you, but I understand why you believe that. Another couple, the Davishoffs, spent the first 20 years of their marriage politically synced, both identified as Democrats and voted such. But Craig Davishoff, over the last 5 years, has moved away from participating in politics. I would prefer there not be any government in our lives, he said. I think government is a problematic concept, and I would prefer it to go away and allow us to live our lives freely. And to me, to say I don't believe in government is irrelevant because we live in a society that has a government, Marla said. Our role is to elect people to represent us and to vote for candidates who reflect our beliefs. The Davishoffs have 2 sons, 15 and 18, both of whom have special needs. We're part of an organization called Illinois Parents of Adults with Developmental Disabilities, and they put out a list of candidates who they believe are going to support individuals with disabilities, Marla said. When I go into the voting booth, that's pretty much how I vote. It frustrates her, she said, that her husband may choose to stay home on election day. Texter says, 773 writes, I cannot live with a TV addict, a cell phone addict, or a computer addict. So for him or her, that would be the breaking point. Somebody who is constantly on that.
Yeah, Bridget accuses me of that all the time.
I think it would be very tough to be in a relationship where the politics don't sync up. At least certainly right now. Because it's just so omnipresent.
Yeah.
And the world is so divided. And it's, you know, I think in different years, you could have a little more easily. But right now, it's hard to say, yeah, I'm okay with either. Or, you know, it's that would be hard in a relationship.
I think it would. I mean, there's enough issues in a relationship to start with, especially if there's children in the family, I mean, you know, with the couple. But if you have both spouses working, which many do, you have that stress. You have the stress of the household. You have the stress of the kids. You have the stress of finances. And then you have the stress of politics and where you think this country is going and how it affects you. And that just adds on top of everything else.
And it's interesting because I think with so many things, when we first start out, especially if you're younger, you know what religion you are, right? And maybe you're going to vary from that. Maybe you're going to get away from being religious. Maybe you'll get more religious. But you kind of know who you are. You grew up whatever you grew up. Is Bridget Jewish, Roger?
Bridget is Irish Catholic.
Okay, so there's a mixed marriage.
Yep.
And how did that affect you guys? She did not convert.
No, but at one point she was considering it.
Okay.
And we have both kind of trailed off from being what many people would consider practicing in our religion. She does not go to church every weekend for whatever reasons. Her belief in God is still strong. Her belief in her religion is still strong. Don't necessarily need to be in a church every Sunday to believe that. I do not go to temple every Friday night. I'm working every Friday night. I was raised as a Reformed Jew, which means we do not observe the strict religious edicts of a conservative Jewish religion. Or an Orthodox Jewish religion, which prevents you from working on the Sabbath and driving and doing anything else. But that has not impacted my belief in the Jewish religion, Jewish traditions. And we tried to raise our children in both religions. But I always deferred to her religious desires when the children were growing up. It has not impacted our relationship.
So your son and your daughter, what are their religious beliefs?
Our daughter, well, they like both, you know, they believe in religious beliefs. We raise them both as Catholics and as Jews, even though because of the Jewish religion, they are technically Catholics. They're not Jewish.
Why is that technically because of the Jewish religion?
Because the wife, the mother, has to be Jewish in order for the children to be Jewish.
Really?
Yeah.
So because she didn't convert, they're not considered Jewish.
Exactly. But we still celebrate all the holidays. Our grandkids, we celebrate all the holidays.
So that everybody gets the best of both worlds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And growing up, we celebrated, obviously, in my household, all the Jewish holidays and everything. But our next-door neighbors at the time were Catholic. Mm-hmm. And we celebrated Christmas with them. I love all that stuff.
Yeah.
And even the Christmas holidays. My sister is a very good singer. I always say my brother got the brains, my sister got the talent, and I got a voice. That's and for talking. But she's a very good singing voice, and so she was always in the choir at high school. And we would always go to the Christmas concert.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, every year they would sing the Hallelujah Chorus.
Yeah.
And the audience would stand. And the one time I know my dad said, sit down, because I didn't know anything. I was younger. I wasn't in high school yet, and I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
And he said, nah, sit down. And so I go, okay. But people were standing, and I didn't understand it until later when he explained it to me.
Yeah.
And I go, well, all right, you know, it's no big deal. Nobody threw things at us.
Yeah.
You know, it was fine. We love spending the Christmas holidays with Bridget's family in Galesburg. Always go. I used to walk a block down to pick up a Christmas tree from the tree lot, a block down from our house every year while the kids were growing up. Now we've got an artificial tree downstairs in the basement. I bring it up every year. Yeah. Bridget's got boxes filled with ornaments. I do all the lights and everything, and I've got several menorahs. One of them electric that I put in the window when it's Hanukkah.
See, it's so interesting that your family is very liberal about the religions.
And, mm-hmm.
I have another friend whose mom was Catholic and father was Jewish, and the mom converted before they got married.
Okay.
She was...
was he Reform or a conservative or Orthodox?
I don't know. But I do know that her family never spoke to her again.
Yeah. Well, cat out of the bag, and Bridget will admit this, and she'll probably hate me for saying it, but I don't think I've not said it before, and it'll be in the book. Parents did not take it well. Even though they drove in, we had the marriage ceremony at my parents' house with a judge because my parents wouldn't go to a church and her parents wouldn't go to a temple, synagogue, and that's understandable.
So you compromised.
Yeah, we compromised. We had a judge who was Jewish in our living room, and it was a beautiful ceremony, but apparently her mother, God bless her, who I love very dearly, just a marvelous woman. She had to have some help getting through the trip and the ceremony. And while that took place then, she and I, and I and Bridget's father, became extremely close over the years. And... and it all worked out, but it was rough at the beginning.
Yeah.
That did cause some issues. I don't think her parents thought that we would actually get married.
It's just such an, and I know somebody in my wife's family, Colleen talks about who, a relative of hers that when she was younger was dating a Jewish guy and her mom said, no way. Not Colleen's mom, another member of the family that's outside of Colleen's immediate. And the parents did not like that and put the kibosh on it. And she never ended up getting married.
Oh, my God. At all?
No. And she's had other boyfriends and stuff. Right. But that might have been the love of her life. But because of religion and because of our notions about whatever, they said, no, you can't do that. And... You know, the Tree of Life thing happens a few hours after we get off the air last week.
Right.
This gunman walks in and starts shooting the place up. And, besides you, I have a decent amount of other friends who are Jewish. And not that matters, whether I know Jewish people or not. Here we are in this state of America where, you know, you can walk into a school, you can walk into a church, and these things happen. And our solution seems to be, we have to arm everybody everywhere to stop. And that was even said by our president, something about, you know, if they would have had a gunman, it wouldn't have been as bad.
Right.
But I started really thinking about that because I was at church on Sunday. And I was wondering, what will the priest say about this? And, you know, it had just happened the day before. And I'm sure the priests always have their what they're going to say already planned out and everything. And so it's not in his sermon, it's not in his homily, and we get to the intentions in the Catholic Mass where we say prayers for the dead or, you know, somebody in the congregation sick, things like that.
We do the same thing at the end of our services.
And so they say these, and then the priest, so the lectern says these, and then the priest says two more, and he says one, I forget what it was for, and then the second one he says something along the lines of, for the souls of the tragedy in Philadelphia, and for all those involved, and have mercy on them, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
And so I'm sitting there going, all right, he just said Philadelphia, happened in Pittsburgh. Which annoyed me.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, I'm like trying to grasp, wait, what did he just say? And because he said something about mercy for everyone, and it mentioned like the perpetrator. And I'm thinking, geez, God, the perpetrator's alive. You know, it's fine. We have to show mercy, forgiveness, whatever. But God, today, right now, this is what we're talking about. It just drove me nuts. And it was really bugging me during the week this week because I was thinking about, you know, in my mind, as much as I'm annoyed with the president who stirs this crap up,
mm-hmm.
and he can say he doesn't all he wants, but the enemy of the people stuff, all of his really harsh rhetoric about fighting and everything else. I'm sorry. You don't have to agree with me. I know you all get mad when I do this, but he stirs that pot up. And the pipe bombs and everything else, you know, he didn't call on it for happen. He didn't tell people to do it. But if you don't think mentally unstable people are affected by what our leaders do, you're wrong. And it bugged me enough. And I actually wrote, I've never done this before, but I sent an email to our priest.
Oh.
I said, good afternoon. Our family regularly attends Mass, et cetera, et cetera. I'm writing to express my disappointment at the way the tragedy in Pittsburgh was brought up during the 9 a.m. Mass on Sunday. During the intentions, you made very brief mention of the tragedy, which you misplaced in Philadelphia, and you also mentioned mercy for the perpetrator. I understand that we are to forgive, but as the perpetrator still has his life, which was not robbed from him as he did to 11 other people that morning, I think his mercy did not need to be of such immediate concern. In my eyes, it very much diminished the prayer for the victims. I know that this happened only the day before, and I'm sure you already had your message for the week prepared, but I am saddened at how little was devoted to what happened in Pittsburgh. If the event the day before had happened at a Catholic church in Pittsburgh, do you believe you would have given it such a small mention? Pardon me for making assumptions, but I fully believe that if it had happened at a Catholic church, we would have devoted much time during our service to praying for the souls that were taken and trying to understand why this happened. If my assumption is correct, then I have to ask, why would we treat things so differently had it been people from our religion? They were killed in a house of worship, much the same as we gather in every week. They were there praying to the Lord and finding hope and renewal just like we do every week. So why do we react so differently? Shouldn't we see it as an attack on anyone who is worshiping the Lord as an attack on all of us? Again, I apologize for the assumptions I am making, and despite my 16 years of Catholic education, I make no claims to being a good Catholic. But for all the stoking of fires being done in the current political climate, I think we also need to look at what enabled those embers in the first place. And in my heart, I would have to say one of the reasons for continued hate of other religions is because we have always been taught we are the ones that go to heaven and others worship falsely. I know that in recent years that notion has been changing, but it is what we've grown up with and the seeds that have been sown for generations. It is up to our current leadership to take the lead in making us more aware that we are all children of God. I truly believe that in the eyes of God, we are all equal, that our love for one another and good over evil is what we will be judged on in the end. But if we continue to believe that our beliefs are the only right ones and that other people are less than we are, then we are truly not allowing ourselves to be what God created in his own image. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also for them. The Bible talks a lot about how we treat our neighbors. I worry that we think that phrase only applies to the people sitting near us in church, but maybe those people aren't our neighbors. They are our family. Our neighbors are in temples and mosques and other places of worship and elsewhere. If we all don't start teaching our children that we that everyone is equal in the Lord's eyes, then we are the ones perpetrating crimes like what happened in Pittsburgh. Thank you very much, Father. So I sent that, and he was very kind. He responded, you know, thank you very much for your email, and I know that this is something you're passionate about. Obviously, it struck home for you. I apologize if it seemed that I was minimizing the sadness that this brings to our humanity. On my behalf, I had only heard about the shooting between the 7:30 and 9 a.m. Mass, was told it was in Philadelphia, thus the mention. I apologize for that. And I chose intentionally mercy for all those involved. This certainly includes the shooter, but was not limiting to him. It's all encompassing as the details were still unknown to me at the time. And then said he'd be happy to sit down and talk about it. So I appreciated that. But that's truly what I feel is that, listen, current leadership is terrible at this. Terrible. But we have to stop believing that we're the only ones that go to heaven, that everybody else worships wrongly. And clearly, Roger, you have not done that. You and Bridget get along and you know, have each other's beliefs. And I don't think you believe Bridget's going to hell because she doesn't believe. And I don't think she thinks you are because you don't. But we have been taught that for years and years in our church. And that's why we evangelize. That's why we try to bring people over there. People have to know about Jesus. And, you know, clearly we've seen that there are some people of the Islamic faith, the radicals who believe, you know, that everybody must adhere to these laws and principles. And we've seen that in other countries. And if we all don't grow up and start believing that everybody is a child of God or not, whatever they want to believe, and that we just need to treat each other better, then that's why this stuff keeps happening. Yes, people that are mentally unstable that get provoked are going to do this type of crap. And I do believe that there is a responsibility to leadership to be smarter about what they say. But it comes back to all of us sitting in the pews and at the temples and everywhere else to stop thinking we're all better than each other and just get rid of that notion that drives me insane, that that's what I believe is at the root of all of this.
Well, if you, I'm not a professor of the Bible, but if you believe in the teachings of the Bible, one of the very first teachings in the Bible, which also happens to be the Torah, which are the five books of Moses, which make up the Old Testament, and the Torah of the Jewish religion, is that God created man in his own image. Now, again, we can modernize that, and you can believe whether what you want of whether God is male or female, and whether that writing is referred to just the male species or to all species. But if you believe that, which is one of the very first teachings, if I remember correctly, in the Bible, then you need to accept the fact that exactly what you just said, we are all equal. And nobody is better than anyone else. We may believe what we want to believe, but at the core of our beliefs, that belief must be sacred, that we are all equal. We are all living here on this planet at this time.
And it's not an easy concept, right? I mean,
no, it's not.
Our founding fathers wrote that into our Declaration of Independence, despite the fact that they owned people.
Yeah,
so it's a lot of talk and not a lot of belief, and we seem to be dredging up more and more that there's a lot of people who don't truly believe it, and we have to overcome that, and I believe generationally, and it takes a long time, but generationally, eventually, the world is a melting pot that is melting more and more together, and hopefully we will get there, but it is a concept that eventually you've got to hope that people start embracing more and more, but it's not an easy one. Real quick, 630 writes, with that line of logic, the Bernie Sanders supporter from Belleville, Illinois, who shot up the Republican congressional baseball team, nearly killing Steve Scalise, Bernie Sanders was to blame for that? You cannot blame President Trump. That is the most BS line of crap I've been hearing all week, that now any other shooting ever is blamed on somebody else. So I don't know all the details, but I don't recall the press conferences where Bernie Sanders was calling people the enemy of the people. And I'm sorry, there's no comparing that. Bernie Sanders never seemed to advocate for any type of violence or threats or anything like that. And Donald Trump has done plenty of that. And you know it. You know that he is instigating people. He talks about this. The reason the guy cited that he went and shot up the synagogue was because HIAS, which is a Hebrew immigration assistance organization.
Hi, yes. Mm-hmm.
That has helped people who are immigrating to the States. He says they're bringing in criminals and they're helping fund this. He said that. What has President Trump been saying for weeks? Middle Easterners, terrorists, who knows what's in this caravan that is a month away from reaching the U.S., but we're sending troops now to the border. I'm sorry, but he does stoke those fires. Bernie Sanders didn't do that. It's just a difference. I'm not saying he called the guy and said, go shoot. I'm not saying he is advocating for people to do that. I'm saying he is choosing words that are causing problems. He could do what he wants to do without doing it like this. No president in our lifetime has ever done things like this. That's what got him elected, I know. There are repercussions for that. There are problems that come along with that. He needs to change his ways. Okay. Okay, everybody. There we go. Let's get some news headlines now with Roger, and then we'll catch up on spots. Mr. Battish, take it away. Matt Babala with you, 720.
Pour yourself something cold, baby, cheers to
Bruce. WGN 312-981-7200 is the number. Thanks for getting involved with us tonight. Some people are getting a little agita at me on the text line. Matt, with your line of thinking, media has incited lies at Trump and incited people to beat up on Trump supporters. I miss that. Now, you could say the media has lied about Trump. I know that President Trump says that all the time. I think he is taking criticisms of him as lies. I think we know that he exaggerates things like that, and he has some thin skin when it comes to things like that. If the media has lied about Trump, then that's terrible. I don't know of those instances. We know of instances all the time where President Trump tells falsehoods. I don't know. Now, has the media incited people to punch? I remember the whole punch a Nazi in a face thing. That wasn't the media. That was people on social media. And a Nazi got punched somewhere. But I don't know of the media inciting people to beat up on Trump supporters. Is there some crazy left-wing media? Left-wing media does not do well. Right-wing media does well. The Breitbarts and the Fox Newses and the Rush Limbaughs, they do really well. WCPT, whatever the progressive station is in town,
yeah,
they don't get any ratings at all.
Nope.
And maybe that's their signal, but I think it's just that doesn't work in the same way. And I don't know about people inciting Trump supporters. Here's what I will complain about the media, though. Earlier this week, so President Trump has been going on about this caravan. And here's one of the other things with this caravan was the George Soros. George Soros, famous Jewish billionaire Democrat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's this Soros is funding this caravan. Soros is doing blah, 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 blah. Which there is no proof of that anybody has. It's just kind of one of those things that they say to rile up the base. And that's one of the things that incited this shooter in Pittsburgh, right? And so there was I think I only heard the audio of President Trump earlier this week. So I don't know if it was one of those things where he's walking on the helicopter or why he's answering a couple of quick questions. But somebody in the media says to him, do you believe the caravan is being funded? And he says, that's what people are saying. He doesn't like give it. He's like, well, people are saying that. I wouldn't be surprised. And then the reporter follows up with, do you think it's George Soros? And he's like, I don't know. That's what people are saying. Could be. He gives kind of a non-definitive answer. And that's fine. I don't have any question about the way the president answered it. What I'm annoyed at is why the hell is some media member asking him this? If the people in the media who do the research or whatever, like, well, there's no evidence of this. There's no reason to believe that George Soros is doing this. There's no reason to believe that these people were funded, that they're paid actors or any of these things that tend to get said by the, you know, the very out there people that say, oh, you know, David Hogg wasn't really a Parkland student, all these things that people come up with, right? Why is somebody in the media who has access to the president, which means to me, they're a relatively legitimate news source. Why the hell are they asking him that question just to get him to say that again? Now you're just trying to bait him into saying something that you can say, hey, he's lying in or he's doing this or he's doing that. Those things have already been said. I think the media has a responsibility to ask questions about things that are real and not help spread falsehoods. And that really annoyed me.
Let me jump in here. In this age of electronic media, and I'm saying media not as a representative of traditional media and news media sources, I'm talking about social media journalism. I'm talking about electronic or digital journalism, where the only messages are being carried on the internet.
Okay.
It is not difficult to get media credentials to events involving politicians. It is not. If you can't submit on...
Sure.
Letterhead.
But this was to President Trump.
But I understand
that. I don't
think
he was at an event. I don't, Roger. Those type of reporters don't get much access to President Trump.
Oh, yes,
unless,
they do.
Unless
they
the White do. House wants to give them access. I know that there are people daily briefings now who are out there reporters. But those aren't the ones... I don't know who said it, but I'm going to defend the far right wing people that they're putting in there now to help get some better questions that they like, instead of having to deal with the Times and CNN and stuff. There are some very like people like, who the hell is that, that are asking questions now. They're not asking him about George Soros and the caravan. They're not asking him to try to bait him into that answer.
You don't know that. You don't know who this reporter was. I'm just saying.
I don't want you to find out. I'm telling you, it wasn't.
Once you get FBI and Secret Service clearance.
Sometimes the regular media doesn't do the best job, too. And I think any media would admit that we don't always do the perfect job. But I also do think that sometimes the media is asking questions because, you know, because it's a trap that the media has fallen into. It. Who was it that spoke out about this week? Jon Stewart. I think it's an HBO special, some roundtable thing that Jon Stewart was part of. And he talked about the media is falling into a trap that President Trump sets for them, that he has made them part of the story and has made them defensive about that. And that gets the media talking about the media. And if we think about it, when President Trump talks about the caravan, and we start talking about this caravan that's a month away,
mm-hmm.
or he starts talking about he's going to end birthright by executive order,
mm-hmm.
birthright citizenship by executive order, we get all the media to talk about that.
And we but spend presidents days have been doing that for decades. They float balloons.
To this incredible extent?
Because
we've never had a presidency that one day after another, it's story after story after story after story.
I understand, but it's the president, and because of the nature of the office, no matter who the individual is in the office, the media reports on what the president does and says, and that is what the media does. Right or wrong, they are not supposed to, the news reporters, report on what happened. It is up to the commentators to analyze what has happened. And so that's why we get the constant, everything the president says, this is what is being reported.
And I understand, yes, whatever the president does say is what is news and it has to be reported on. But he, I'm sure, has done a better job than Clinton or George W. Bush or Barack Obama or Clinton or Reagan or anybody that we can remember,
mm-hmm.
of, you know, one thing is happening, but here's something. Here's a shiny new object I'm going to dangle in front of you. And suddenly you're not talking about the Mueller investigation. You're not talking about Khashoggi. You're not talking about the Saudis. You're not talking about all these things. It moves from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. And
he's very good at that.
Yeah, really is good at that. And the media, you know, it's tough because they can't ignore if he's saying I'm going to end birthright citizenship. That's a story. And that's big. And whether he could pull that off or not, but you know, he really does. He is able to do a good job of trying to control the news cycle a little bit. But I will stand by. I heard a reporter ask that. I'm telling you, Roger, it wasn't some Breitbart news source. It was some actual reporter from a mainstream media source, I believe. We'll have to try to look it up. But I was just like, come on. Why is that what you are asking him? He's already going to say stuff like that. You don't need to ask him that. Use your time for better questions than that. I think we all have a responsibility to do better. I believe that on both sides.
Both sides are very good people.
Okay, but hey, in 2 more days, there's an election, Raj.
Did you do early voting?
I didn't do early voting. I didn't even think about it. I see so many people posting about it. And then I saw a thing in our town that I think early voting ended on Friday. I think it ended yesterday. I didn't even know that we had early voting in our town. I guess probably most places do have that now. But it ended in our town, so I'll go on Tuesday. I'm excited to go on the day and stuff and do my civic duty. We got to take a quick break, but I do want to talk about all the... It is very interesting how much early voting is going on and in different states and what it means and trying to debate it. Let's take a quick break. We'll talk about that next. Matt Bubala with you, 720 WGN. Hello, everybody. Matt Bubala back here with you, 312-981-7200. 630 says, have been voting early in past elections for years. This year, my county let me vote by mail. 773 writes, I love voting by mail. You could take off your bra, sit in your lazy boy, and sip a martini while you vote out every blank on the ballot. I'm not going to tell you who she's voting out. But she's sitting there braless doing it, which paints quite the picture. Coming up after the 4 a.m. news, we'll speak with Larry Vance, who we had talked to previously about MH370. We'll talk about the Lion Air accident, what the latest is with that. 815 writes, I've driven papers for 15 years, and over the past 5 years, subscriptions are down about 50%. It seems that the papers are full of edge-based writing and BS, that people just don't believe it anymore. That's your opinion. That's fine. I don't believe that the Tribune is full of BS anymore. The Tribune is still a very conservative paper overall. And the Sun-Times is very much not a conservative paper. The papers have gotten thinner and thinner and thinner. People are able to get their news from all these other places. The price of a newspaper never goes down. The New York Times just got their, 6 million? What do they have? 60 million digital? Something crazy they came out with this week, how many digital subscriptions they have. They're doing very well digitally. There's just so many places you can get your news now. Oh, real quick, Ron is on 720 WGN. Good morning, Ron. How are you?
Good morning, Matt and Roger. I still read the New York Times. I got yesterday's copy right in front of me, which has a very interesting article. We are living in a historic precedent. This is similar to when the end of Reconstruction, when black voter rights were being disenfranchised, where we saw mass lynchings, which are paralleling today with the mass shootings by white men of Jewish people, black people, and the repression of voting. And we have a leader who is stoking the fires, the flames of this, what I say is a return to a very, very, very evil time in our nation. And one final point, if I might make, and I do not condone the shooters, the mass shooters anywhere, but that one shooter from Illinois who shot those congressmen, every one of those congressmen voted to put those weapons of mass destruction in that man's hands and every other mass shooter's hands. They advocate for full automatic weapons, magazines, put every 50 caliber weapons in people's hands. So those men who were shot up, they're the NRA gunmen who are the worst. They passed the laws to arm everybody to the teeth and to get away with it. I'm not saying they got what they had covered, but they got what they voted for.
I appreciate it, Ron. Thank you very much. I'm gonna stop you right there, because I do want to say that that doesn't mean, of course, and I know you were saying that doesn't mean that they deserved any of that. They didn't. I will say that I don't believe there are mass shootings of white men on black people, as you started to say there. You akin it to mass lynchings. That, I don't believe, is the news cycle. There's mass shootings, but generally they are not, white men going after or African-American people. I know that this happened in the Jewish synagogue, but let's face it, most of the mass shootings are in schools or in nightclubs or the Las Vegas thing. They're more indiscriminate overall. I know there was one in a gay nightclub in Florida. Now we've had the synagogue.
There was a recent one. I want to say it was an Indiana church.
That's right.
Two African Americans
were shot at a convenience store because the gunman couldn't get into the church. Right, so that would have been a hate crime. They were trying to get into a black church, I believe.
Yes, and the doors were locked on that one.
Right. So that does happen. But I understand your passion, Ron. I'm not there on all of that yet. But I understand it, and I understand the passion on the other side too. Everybody, but it's going to be very interesting to see what happens.
The times
next
we
week.
Live in.
Very interesting to see what happens next week. There is a lot of early voting going on. And how that plays out. I was telling Roger off the air before the show. Our friend Sonia Von Meter, the Democratic opposition researcher in Texas, I was texting with her today and asking her how things seem to be going, and she said that they have already had more early votes cast in Texas than they had votes in the entire 2014 election. So not 2016, which is presidential, but 2014.
The midterm.
Which they did have a senator running. Cornyn was elected or reelected then. So it wasn't completely just a statewide race. It was national in somewhat scope. But they've already had more early voting than they had for the entire thing.
Yeah, they've got a huge race going on there right now. I mean, really huge. And apparently, from what I've also reading, is that The youth vote, young people, is up 500% over the previous midterm. And they're saying that that could bode well for the Democratic candidate.
It could, but we don't know. But we don't know. Because let's face it, we all thought Hillary was winning last time. Right. And that didn't happen.
So nobody knows until after all the votes are counted.
And that's the truth.
Because I heard a lot of some other stuff. It was on the news today. Or yesterday, I mean. I was watching some of the news, evening news. And they were trying to explain out how some of the polls from the last election did not predict President Trump's win.
Right.
And they were explaining out that they were not the local polls that were part of the national polls. So they were polling in places that gave the not the wrong information, but did not supply a full picture.
Well, and there's a lot of question about how accurate polling is.
Yeah, exactly.
If people don't answer their phones, if people don't have landlines,
I'll tell you back when Harold Washington was running, a lot of people lied.
And that's what they think a lot of people did about Trump, too.
Could be.
It's going to be very interesting to see what happens on Tuesday. I know that Patty was telling me that Dave Lundy was saying that he thinks there's a chance that Democrats don't win the House. The prevailing thought is Democrats are going to win the House. Republicans are going to keep control of the Senate. I was looking at 538, which is one of those polling websites, and who defended themselves afterwards saying, listen, we were saying here are the chances, here are the percentage chances this or that will happen. Didn't mean President Trump wouldn't win. It meant that it's like betting on a football game where you're given odds.
Mm-hmm.
Chances are we believe the Bears are going to win by 10 points. Doesn't mean the Bills aren't going to upset them.
Right.
Just means most likely this is what happens. They're saying right now that there is only a 1 in 7 chance that Democrats take control of the Senate. And there's only a 1 in 7 chance Republicans keep control of the House. So that's how it theoretically should shake out. My prediction, and I'm probably be wrong because I usually am on these things, but my prediction is either the Republicans keep control of both or the Democrats take over both. And those are both long shots.
Going
that's not how
full
it should
blast.
Be. I feel like it's either going to be an insane blue wave, just like it was insane that Trump won, because everybody said it wasn't going to happen. So it's either going to be like, wow, we didn't realize how much there really was. People really did get out the vote. The youth really did come out. All these things really did happen.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's going to be, boy, there was a lot of bluster about it, but people didn't really come out to vote in the numbers they thought, and Republicans keep control. I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll find out on Tuesday.